Those of you who are really familiar with the Episcopal Church and Palm Sunday realize we do not read what is scheduled to be read necessarily here in worship. It's actually broke up normally into two parts, the Palm part and the Passion part, and that lightness and celebration of the palms and the procession with the darkness of the death of Jesus. I'm saving that till Good Friday, so I invite you to come back, really, to experience that, because we all live in both places. We need to experience both places. Jesus' story certainly does, as do all good movies, all good plots. Well, okay, not all good movies, but many have that good versus evil element to it. You think back, John Wayne was always going, you know, some bad guy, bandits or robbers or something, right? There's the superheroes and the villains going against each other. You know, maybe it's the doctor and patient going against the cancer or the life-threatening. There's the principal versus the school violence or the allied forces and the Axis powers. Of course, you know, I'm going to throw in something like the Jedi Master and the Sith Lord. Harry Potter and Voldemort, princesses and their stepmothers. I don't know what we have against stepmothers, but stepmothers. There's this light and dark. There is this good versus evil that create these plots and these stories. Jesus' story is no different. I wish, and I don't think it's for everyone, but I wish that we all longed for, drawn towards and long for the light over the darkness. I don't think it's true for everybody, but I wish it was. But, you know, the problem is it's not always easy for us to sort out what is darkness and what really is the light. Jesus, in his story, now he's nearing the end of his earthly ministry. He has touched the untouchables of his society. He shared meals with outcasts as if they were family. He's healed the sick, the lame, the blind, the deaf, the demonic. He's even raised the dead. Jesus has been out in the world interacting and building relationships, bringing hope to the hopeless, truly changing their lives. Those who have been following Jesus have on some level interacted with him in a positive way, built some type of positive relationship with him. Now, they may not understand to the extent of it, and we don't either, by the way. We don't understand to the extent of it, but they know Jesus is good and is a light sent from God. Those who live in Jerusalem, they don't know Jesus like those who are following him. And some may have heard rumors about him, but what they know in Jerusalem is that Jesus was an outsider. He was from a tiny village. City dwellers and little village dwellers, they didn't much care for each other. They had stereotyped each other. We do the same thing. We always know that when we dig into stereotypes that they're not true, they're false. They are a darkness that keeps relationships from building. We know that not all Southerners are racists, not all Christians are hypocrites, not all preachers are judgmental. We know these things, but there are stereotypes in this world. Well, city dwellers, they saw the non-city dwellers as lesser people, uneducated, untrustworthy. And then those non-city dwellers, those who didn't live in Jerusalem, long history there of seeing those, that city of Jerusalem, as being the city that killed the prophets. This is in their minds. These stereotypes are there. We have to know that when we enter into this story. So what was it like for the city dwellers to watch this large crowd coming? What was it like for them to see the commotion surrounding this so-called prophet from Podunk Nazareth? What was it like for them to see Jesus coming in on a donkey? A donkey. No. The power, the Messiah was going to come in on a horse, powerful and mighty, going to this war, take over, change things, make things better, not be coming in on a humble work animal. No, this was not the way it was supposed to be. So they're watching them come into town. And they had to have been afraid. Not that this war horse donkey was going to take over and wipe out and change everything in that sense, but this large group of outsiders is moving in, and they have a leader. I don't blame them for being afraid. Then there's those who are traveling with Jesus. They're shouting, "Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest heaven." Hosanna. That word has more than one meaning, but they both make sense. Hosanna can be that just praise, that praise word, like that word we'll use next week. You know, that praise word. But it also means, please save us. Praise and please save us. Man, that's where I live. And I think that's where the crowds lived too. No matter what word they, meaning they were throwing up to him, and it was praise, or if it was this plea for hope and salvation, either way, they knew that Jesus was good and that Jesus was not that darkness. Jesus was from God. The thing that they did in the Gospel of Matthew is they laid their cloaks and branches on the ground. Always think about waving palms on Palm Sunday, but this had to do with laying them on the ground. This is where they were. They understood Jesus to be so much in the light that they didn't even want the feet of that donkey to touch the ground where ordinary people trod. No matter what was going on in their life, that was their big moment. We know what happens next. Jesus had said what was going to happen next, but not all of them knew the celebration of entering in with triumph in the light and, like, oh, party time, into the darkness of what happens next. We live right there in that moment. We live in Hosanna. We live in wanting to praise God and embrace God and build that relationship. We already think we're there. We're riding along as friends with Jesus. And then we find our times in the darkness, needing to be saved. That's part of our humanity. You know, we spend Lent reflecting on ourselves, and when... And me, it's always about the bad stuff that I need to improve. I don't know about you all. What could I do better? It's a struggle. But today is not about that. I want today to be about the good things you already do. I want you to think about that for a minute. Been thinking about all the stuff we need to be doing. What are you doing? What are you doing in living into that first Hosanna, that praise, versus the second of, oh, I need help? That's important. I think it's important on this day that we live into it, which is why I don't stretch the Passion into today's liturgy. I want us to celebrate today what it is that we do to praise God, our actions that praise God. We'll have time for our weeping and our mourning later, but not today. As we stand in our humanity, let us live in that tension of Hosanna. But today, we praise Jesus. Amen.